Hare Krishna. Unfortunately, I'm having some internet difficulty. It's not easy to get online. So I haven't been able to look at the questions and get back to answering devotees' questions. So let me just speak what's on my mind, which is about the sorry plight of India, Indians, what the rest of the world sees India as, although that's not so much of an issue, but more about what the residents of India have become and then what they've turned India into. I've been coming to India, I think the first time I came was either 75 or 76, so somewhere around 40 years. And I'm always amazed by how much things continue to change even as I come. And I'm sorry to see those changes. They're not happy changes. They don't bode well for what India really is, at least as Srila Prabhupada would. I hope that India would identify itself as actually being the essence of the world's spiritual culture, and that that was what India really had to give to the world. Nowadays, when devotees come to India, especially over the last 10 years, they may think, well, this is the way it is. And in one sense, some things are not that different than in the West. But 40 years ago, things were very, very much different. One thing which is extremely striking, aside from the, well, anyway, I'll get to that. But what is very striking is alcohol. The advertisement, the presence of alcohol everywhere it's really quite amazing. There was no such thing as alcohol shops at the time, or at least not in the public view as there are now. Neither is alcohol as advertised. What amazes me is that probably half the advertisements, and of course there were very few advertisements outside of cities 40 years ago, but even then there were no advertisements for alcohol. Now, every second billboard is about how people will become happy, how real achievers and beautiful men and women all drink. And it's going on. Alcoholism, of course, so many things relate to that. But that and the other thing that I was going to say is the permissive nature of Indian society, or how permissive it has become. It's interesting that when in the West they talk about India, they talk about India's conservative values. And, yeah, there's still some sense of conservatism in India, and there are still conservatives, but certainly not the same as it was 40 years ago. Just in terms of dress, I mean, women would not walk around in mini dresses. They were, if I remember right, mostly all dressed in saris. And Now, that's really not the case. Women are not all dressed in saris. In fact, I don't know if I even saw anyone in a sari since I've been here over the last 4 or 5 days. Skirts, jeans, certainly not a comfortable thing to walk around in jeans in the kind of hot weather that we're in, but that's what they're wearing, tight blouses, and along with that, obviously, is men's attire or men's dress. Men are also dressing to attract women, as women are dressing to attract men, following a certain style that's very much prevalent in Bollywood or the Indian cinema system, or Indian home of Indian cinema, where, of course, I don't see movies now, and I didn't see movies then, but from what I hear from others, who to some extent or another do, where they say everything that happens in the West happens in Indian theater as well. In other words, it's extremely permissive, very, very loose. And all of that indicates that India's greater interest is no longer in its spiritual culture, no longer in Vedic culture, Vaishnav culture, but it's in sense gratification. No doubt there's still something left of that. Even Srila Prabhupada, when he was with us, he would also describe how much India had changed in his lifetime. And we are, we wish that India would be as it was just when we first went there, what to speak of during Srila Prabhupada's life. And Prabhupada said, no, it's no longer Vedic culture, but still, he said that, gave the example of an elephant. Elephant's a very valuable creature when it's alive, but when it's dead, still its tusks and its hide still give it some value. So he would say that even in its dead form, Indian culture, Vedic culture, is valuable. Well, if during Srila Prabhupada's time Vedic culture was dead, then in our time it's rotting away. And no doubt that even in its rotting condition, Indian culture has some value. But it's a lament. It's very, very unfortunate. And of course, we who are very much attached and spend most of our time in sacred places, Mayapur, Puri, Vrindavan, when we go there, then we see that the result of this degradation is that Indians have become more interested in sense gratification than in spirituality. And that shows in how they corrupt their own sacred places, like Vrindavan, which has become more of a tourist site than a place of pilgrimage. It's not become a place of renunciation or simplicity, or at least even restraint, but a place of indulgence, where people want to be able to do whatever it is that they're doing in the cities, they want to be able to do in Vrindavan. They want to be able to drink, they want to be able to eat meat, and other unmentionable activities that do go on from those who are residents there. It does go on. So how unfortunate, and why does that take place? It takes place because people have become distracted. They're no longer practitioners. They don't have the spiritual strength to withstand the influence of external forces, Western materialism, and so they also participate in that and become part of and advertisers for that type of degradation. And so we see India much changed from what it used to be. And it's unfortunate. It's a sorry plight. And what do the rest of the world think about India? Certainly they have mixed opinions. Some people that it's a very poor place, an impoverished place, which obviously it isn't. It's become a world power. Others that its culture has caused it to be behind the rest of the world. In other words, its disinterest in material development. But now, finally, Indians have sort of come to their senses. And then, of course, they see things such as that incident that happened some time back when this woman was raped on a bus and then subsequently died. And her friend, her boyfriend, he didn't die, but he was also beaten. Obviously, these things make news, and they think, now, is this really Indian culture? Is this what Hinduism is really all about? And of course, no, the answer is no, it's not. But it is what just does in the same way. There may be so many Christians in the West doing so many degraded activities, including murder, rape, and so on. That isn't what Christianity is about. But unfortunately, it's about what people who call themselves Hindus and call themselves, so many denominations may call themselves Vaishnavas, are actually doing and are transforming the face of their country to make it compete with the rest of the world, and in so doing, they're sacrificing their values to become drunks and debauchees and meat eaters and materialistic people, and have forgotten the real great value and the great asset that Srila Prabhupada was hopeful would change the face of the world. That with Western affluence and with Indian culture, not Indian affluence, but original Indian culture, then the whole world could be transformed. Certainly there's still hope, that elephant, but it really needs something special to revive it. And in a way, with Mrityu Sanjeevani, one can revive a dead person. So with the Mrityu Sanjeevani of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, the dead Vedic culture of India could be revived, but it really requires an extraordinary effort, and no doubt the members of ISKCON in India are doing that extraordinary effort, but 1 billion plus people, changing them is no easy feat. Hare Krishna.